think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning, Ed, everyone. God bless you. Thanks for getting up here this morning, coming into the huddle, sitting here trying to make sense of the craziness around us, everything that's going on. It's Flea Flicker Friday, although, as I often say, Rush Limbaugh says it's open line Friday and then never takes any phone calls. I got a lot of stuff that I can throw out on the table, but I'd love to hear from you. Love for you to be able to get in and get your jabs in the best you can. As we get ready to go to the calendar, Connor, maybe you can get that ready. I'm going to talk a little bit about the calendar. I just got to, and the Lord just touches me, just gently touches me, and the Holy Spirit does. And as I was coming down here, a word came to my head, and that word was self-centeredness. That's the word that came to me. And I was thinking about it as I was walking down, self-centeredness, and realized the Holy Spirit is trying to show me how much when I get up in the morning, most of my thoughts are about me. Most of them are. You get into the point where you're going to pray a little bit. For the most part, most of the prayers that you pray are for you or those that you love, we tend to pray for those people who would make us happy if things were good for them as well. Or things would make us sad if something bad happened to them. So ultimately, even our prayer life, if we're not really careful, is really, really self-centered. It really is. And, my wife's going on a little getaway this weekend. And I said to her, I said, honey, you're not supposed to go. I'm the one that goes. It's really kind of a role reversal to think that I'm going to be sitting around here this weekend by myself. I'm a big boy. Don't get me wrong. Point being, what's the point you're making? Man, we have to, what'd that song say? You stab it with its steely knives, but you still can't kill the beast. The beast of self, self-centeredness, self-focus. Man, we all fight that. God, we fight it. And I don't mean to get behind this microphone and pontificate about you when I'm fighting that same beast. Really am. And the big news around here in Columbus is one of the 30-year weathermen here in our local Channel 10 area was picked up, arrested yesterday for child pornography, 60 years old. And I know the personal devastation that brings to a life. Married, had three children, arrested at his home, public figure. Life will never, ever be the same. And as much as I wanted to, and as much as I read online, and as much as I heard people say stuff like, oh, what a sicko, what a pervert, yes, I ought to hang him. My heart was, gosh, what is it that would draw somebody into that? You know, nobody sets out to be a deviant. Nobody sets out to do that. Nobody sits down in front of a computer and says, hey, let me go look at some young kids. It doesn't start like that, man. It doesn't start like that. And the scourge of pornography, I would say the scourge of pornography is one of the greatest evils that the world has ever seen. And the devastation that it has reaped upon America is beyond what we can ever imagine. And to think that those stupid Supreme Court justices said that pornography was free speech. That started the whole thing. Pornography is free speech. Can't talk about God. Can't wear an insignia of Jesus Christ and walk into the public schools. You can't do that. But you have a right. You have a First Amendment right to pornography. And I thought about Mike Davis and sitting in jail right now, the devastation running through his head, wondering, asking himself, how did this happen? How did this happen to me? And also a real quick warning to all of us, beware lest ye fall, because that's just one click away from Playboy models to something you shouldn't be looking at the Playboy models. It's one click away from it. One click, you never get back. And as Mark Trump would tell us, you know, the IP addresses and all that stuff, they know exactly where you are and exactly what's going on. And I had a read someplace, somebody told me one time that at the point of sin, in the mind of the sinner, God is dead. If we could really think about the consequences of what we do if we were to get caught. If every time we made an action, we thought, what if I get caught? It would change our behavior. But can I tell you something? You're already caught. The Holy Spirit's already caught you. The all-seeing eye knows. And if we worried more about our we're worried about more about the idea that God's seeing everything, the Holy Spirit sees everything. If we worried more about that than whether or not the police were going to find out or my wife was going to find out, it all starts in the heart. I don't know what it has to do with anything other than I feel bad for the guy. I feel bad for him. How's that happen in your life? I don't know. And is there any? I know there is. But I was asking myself yesterday, is there really any difference between viewing pictures of young children, which certainly no one should ever do, and living immorally the way so many Americans are? And why are some sins so much worse than others? Child pornography is... it's unspeakably evil. But so is adultery, fornication. The fact that we say, well, it's just a little kid. They're doing it to a little kid. Well, you're doing it to your wife. You're doing it to somebody you made a vow that you wouldn't do it to. And the idea that sin is sin, all sin's the same, that's a lie. That's not true. You know right now that we treat murder differently than we treat somebody who steals. All sins, the wages of sin is death. All sins are evil. All sins will bring harm to you, but they're not all the same. Look at our legal system. They're not all the same. Some sins have a much more devastating impact. Some of them do. I don't know how I got on that, but I think it's important we say it. So let's go to the schedule real quick here. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. I had this really, really strong urge to go try to visit that guy in jail. Dude, what happened, man? How do you make this thing right? How do you make this right? September 21st is Ohio Salt and Light. See, that's 2 weeks away. My goodness, we're the first week in September's gone by. Mike Blake's and the crew's having a Salt and Light brigade meeting 21st. It's all on there, potluck. Oh, my goodness, Mike, I supposed to send you a check. I just thought about that. I'll get that done. The address is there. All gather. It's going to be a huddle from 10 a.m. Just one day, not an overnight, just one day. Local Ohio folks, ever. That's all on there. Go to the next one, Connor. Run down through these things real quick. Chad's having his Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting the 27th. All you folks down there, get to Moody, Texas. Chad's doing it like nobody else is doing it. become part of that. I'm going somewhere today. The 28th, I'm going to be part of. Oh, I forgot something. Well, here's what I sometimes. I have a hard time sometimes on my own on this schedule. I have personal things I'm doing on my schedule that aren't necessarily public things. So if you say, Coach, you didn't put that on there. Well, it's just because I'm just coming up by myself type stuff. Faith and Freedom Conference, John Diamond's putting on this fabulous conference in Pennsylvania on Saturday, the 28th. That's a one-day, all-day event if you're in that area. Great speakers, everything. In October, we have the Mayberry Huddle with the coach. That's a couple, three-day event down in North Carolina, home of Andy Griffith. Information's there. We'd love to see those down there in that area. We're going to go to Franklin Graham's having an event down there. We're going to go do some honking waves and various things there, October 10th, through the 12th. Scrolling down, 12th is my dad's birthday. 14th is my brother's birthday. Pennsylvania Salt Light Brigade with October 18th there with Bobby Lee. If you're in the Pennsylvania area, we'd love to see you there. We'll get out some more information on that. Is there another one down there, Connor? The Rim Fire Conference in Montana. It's in Montana, yeah. We're going to Montana October 25th through the 27th. That area, we'd love to see you. Leighton Howerton, Dr. Spalding. Boot camp announced this yet. We're doing a boot camp. Well, I don't even know what to call it. We're bringing Jamie Waldron in. We're going to have a good boot camp on the 9th of November. Still working on those details. We'll get that up and running. And was that it? Is that it, Connor? I think that's probably it. Oh, yep, that's probably it. We've got more stuff on there, but a lot of things going on that you can get plugged in with, and we'd love for you, as we say, to get together with us because it makes a big difference. Okay, so we'll shut up for a minute. Anybody got anything you want to throw on the table before I do? I got a lot of things, but it is Flea Flicker Friday, so somebody jump in here.
I just want to thank my wife for putting up with me 51 years tomorrow.
Oh, my goodness, Larry, she must be a saint, huh? 51 years.
Congratulations.
That's the truth, buddy. That is something. Congratulations to Larry. Most people only live that.
I want to thank, again, the people who show up and the people who support us through prayer and giving. Richard Rapp, one of our friends here in Ohio, shows up yesterday and I called him an impact player. I know you talked about that one day, Coach, and he's an impact player. But I certainly, we need help. So the call is out. We'll be gone next week. But the week after that, after we get back from Maine, it would be wonderful to have some folks come over. And I think we already have a gentleman, Matt Siskevich's nephew, wants to come up for a couple weeks. So really, he's going to bless us with some of his time. But just want to say thank you to everyone that's making Jesus's work possible through Coach and Coach's family. It's a lot of work going on, a lot of sacrifice going on, and it's sure nice to work with folks like Richard. And again, thank y'all very much.
Yeah, it's getting more and more manageable. And it was one of the main reasons, one of the things I was kicking against the pricks in regards to Sky High, is I knew that it was going to pull away my time away from other important stuff that I do. So I just appreciate all of you who show up and help and donate and do all that stuff. It's going to be a process, but maybe we're a lot farther ahead than we were before. That's for no small thanks to Mark, who's coming and really, really giving us some direction. Anybody else? Come on in. Thanks, Mark. All right. Nobody. Okay. Bradley Dean said something yesterday, was in the show yesterday, really. I don't know about you. I get uncomfortable when people talk about me in front of me, even if it's good. And I don't want it to be false humility, okay? But it just makes me uncomfortable. Anyway, because pride's an ugly thing, man. Pride's an ugly thing. When you get to the point where you do things in your life for the recognition of other men, that's a very, very dangerous place to be. And I don't want to, in any way, shape, or form, be falsely humble. Does that make sense? Oh, don't say that. And the whole time be basking in the fact that somebody's giving you a compliment. I don't ever want to be that way. But I just understand how a team operates, and understand that we don't do well if the team doesn't. If the individual doesn't do well, the team doesn't do well. And if the team doesn't do well, it doesn't matter how good the individual did. There's nothing worse than being 5-for-5 in a baseball game and losing in the last inning because somebody boots a ball out at shortstop, you know? And if you go home happy after you've been 5-for-5 and the team lost, you got your priorities upside down. Now, so I was thinking yesterday when Bradley Dean said twice that I was an apostle, it makes me nervous. I hate titles. Because all titles do is separate people. They separate. There has to be an authority structure. Don't get me wrong. But people who strive for titles really are seeking the approval of man. They really are. And I got thinking about what Bradley said yesterday about me being an apostle. Because there's a... But don't ever forget this, the fivefold ministry gift, you can always do it on your thumb. There's an apostle, there's a prophet, there's an evangelist, there's a pastor teacher. Those two, in fact, if you read it, those two are connected, pastor teacher. It doesn't say pastor and teacher. That's also one of only two times I believe the term pastor appears in the entire New Testament, pastor. Yet in American Christianity, we've made the pastor the head. The pastor is the main. You guys know that, right? Drive by a church, and on the church, you'll say, Day Spring Church, Thomas Jones, pastor. Right? Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. So we get confused about spiritual gifts and spiritual offices and the difference of those. And I like to liken it to a family. If you're operating your family properly, Dad, you at all times during the growth of your family, you're going to operate in every aspect of those ministries. You're going to be an apostle. You're going to be a prophet. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to be a pastor and a teacher to your family. In your family, there is not an apostle. Oh, there's Joe. This is my oldest son, Joe, and he's the evangelist. And there's Terry. She's my youngest daughter, and she is the prophet. But no, it's not the way that it works. These are spiritual gifts that the Lord places inside of a body to make the body operate properly. And the gifts, please hear me, are not an office. They're not an office. It's not a job you get elected to and you're now Apostle Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer. No, it's a gifting. And if you are flowing in the Holy Spirit, in the midst of your family, as a father or as a mother, you at some point are going to have to operate in all of those gifts. And the same thing's supposed to be happening spiritually. It's God's form of government starts with the individual, and then after the individual is the family, and after the family comes the church, and after the church comes the civil government. And if the apostleship, if the fivefold ministry is working in the family, all of the others fall in line. But we have been taught that in the family, the apostle, the prophet, that we've been taught that those things only operate within the church. And you're living right in the middle of the original body that Jesus put together. God put together the family. And we've been taught to get all of our spiritual nurturing and direction outside of the home. We men, and I'm talking about me, I'll talk about my dad because dad wouldn't care if I talked about him. Died in 2005, I think, I don't know, a long time ago. My dad was not the spiritual head of our family. He was not. My mom was. And although I was raised Catholic, my dad took us to church, made all of us go to, when back then you had mixed marriages and Dad was a Catholic and Mom was a Protestant. The Catholic my mom, in order to marry my dad, had to promise to raise the children Catholic. So dad took us to church. Mom was the spiritual head of the family, but dad took us to church. But my father's spiritual authority was minimized in our family. He was not the prophet. I'm sorry, he was not the apostle. He wasn't the prophet. He wasn't the evangelist. He wasn't the pastor. He wasn't any of those things. And as a result, when the family's raised and the family goes off to live, you're going to find out that your children, you are going to pretty much pattern your life after the home in which you lived. And we've done a horrible, horrible job of, in the church environment, raising up men to be that spiritual leader in their homes. That's why I think we're fighting, struggling with so many different things. So I jumped on the internet this morning, and I went to the word apostle. Connor, maybe you can pull that up there. And you know, it's kind of funny, because the first three things I went through, I couldn't find the first three Christian websites I went to. The term apostle was nothing more than confusion. It's confusion. First of all, they said there isn't an apostles anymore, that those gifts ended, and the disciples were the apostles. And see, if you look at those fivefold ministry gifts as offices rather than gifts, then you're going to be a little bit confused, I think. So pardon me, I feel like I'm rambling, but I'm trying to head someplace to understand that you, each one of you, see, it's not my responsibility to amen or oh my your spiritual walk. That's not my job. Nor my job is to do mine. So I dug through some of these spiritual gift tests. This is a spiritual gift test. And I read it over real quickly, so I don't know how fundamentally sound this is, but there were several things in here that really kind of jumped out at me. Talking again about the fivefold ministry. We know what a pastor is, right? We know what a prophet is. So this website says the spiritual gift of apostleship is sometimes accused with the office of apostle. That's what I just said. The office of apostle was held by a limited number of men chosen by Jesus. That office, including the 12 disciples, the requirements of the office of apostle, including being a faithful witness of Jesus' ministry and his resurrection, and being personally called by Jesus. That was the office of the apostle. The apostles were given authority by Jesus to do many different things to establish the church, including writing scripture and performing miracles. Jesus specifically set around him apostles. He picked 12 of them specifically to do what? To establish the church and write scripture and perform miracles. There are no more that hold the office of apostle today, but the gift of apostle continues in a different sense. Separate the two. You know, we've all worked in an environment where the boss had the title of boss, but he wasn't who ran the show. You know what I'm talking about? So there's a difference between the office of the leader and the leader. They're not always the same. Jesus gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers at his ascension, Ephesians. And these represent a distinct category of apostles. They do not have the authority to write scripture as the original apostles did. They also have a different purpose in the sense of establishing the church. The foundation has already been set. So let's look at what it is that Bradley Dean said yesterday that Coach Dave is trying to do. I'm not writing new scripture. I'm not trying to establish a denomination. But what am I trying to do? I'm trying to have the sense of establishing a church. I'm going farther with this. The mission of those with the gift of the apostle today is to plant new ministries and churches and to go into places where the gospel is not preached and reach across cultures to establish churches. I hate to use that term, to establish ministries in challenging environments and to raise up and develop leaders, call out and lead pastors and shepherds and much more. You understand what Pass the Salt Ministries, what Bradley Dean hit on, and I've been pondering this all night long, is that's what Pass the Salt is trying to do. What are we trying to do? I'm trying to, let's find it, plant new ministries, brigades, into places where the gospel's not preached, where people don't have a church, they have no church environment, and help them reach across cultures to establish these churches in challenging environments. We're in a challenging environment in the world, right? And the way church is going just isn't working. And what else does the apostle want to do? Raise up and develop leaders. Not be the leader, raise up leaders. Call out and lead, and much more. They often have many different gifts that allow them to fulfill their ministry. These are leaders of leaders and ministers of ministers. They are influencers. They're typically entrepreneurial, amen, and are able to take risks and perform difficult tasks. Missionaries, church planters, certain Christian scholars and institutional leaders, and those leading multiple ministries or churches often have the gift of apostleship. So what is it that I've been trying to do? I've been trying to get you to walk in the fullness of your gift. I'm not trying to get you to be me. I'm trying to get you to be you, to recognize your giftings and to use your giftings in, what does it say? Difficult situations, difficult environments. That's what we're trying to do here. And we have this mindset. All of us have this mindset of, well, who's the leader? Well, I'm the leader, I guess. But I want you to be the leader right where you live. I want to help you grow in your giftings to do what? To go into challenging environments and raise up and develop leaders. I think of Bobby Lee and Chad. Oh my goodness. I want to do everything I can to help Chad do what he's doing. Bobby Lee's out there doing. Denny Bryan's out there doing. I can see every time I start, I'm going to forget a name. So, Coach, you forgot me. You forgot me. OJ. OJ. What? Yes, OJ. OJ is having such an impact right where he lives. He's not a nationally known name. They don't even know who he is in Kentucky. They may not even know who he is in his local environment, but he's having an impact. It's a job of the apostle, me, to equip him to go do it, not do it for him. Show him how to do it and turn him loose to do it. In a nutshell, that's what the Salt and Light Brigades, to me, are all about. Okay, somebody come on in here a second.
Yeah, hey, Coach.
Yep.
Change subject a little bit. When I counter so-called lukewarm believers a lot, I think of the way the churches are. They're living in an infant stasis. They're keeping their congregants in infancy.
Why is that? Why is that? Is it by design, Jeffrey? You think, are they doing it by design, or is it confusion over the stuff that we're talking about right here?
I think it's a Satan's infiltration of communism to bring a certain statute of only go so far. You can talk about scripture. You can encourage, but when people, when I talk to people, in at least the church I'm going to, they listen to me, but they become so fearful, in my opinion. They don't have enough knowledge, have the full armor of God.
Well, let me make it easy for you. Let me take the pressure off of you, Jeff. They don't respect you because they don't understand the offices. They think you're just some freak. They don't even understand what an evangelist means. Because they're not evangelists. They don't get it. And everybody in their church has been told that if you're going to be a Christian, come into the box and sit in the box and be a good Christian. And by the way, see Jeff Nell out there? Stay away from him. Stay away from him. That's what they've been taught. They just don't know any better. As I said, when we went to Branson, Missouri, Jeff, people were taking pictures of us like we were freaks. They would slow down snap pictures because why? That's not the status quo. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I don't know. I don't know. I think it's Surge. Surge is have an impact where he is. I don't think he calls himself Pastor Surge. I don't think he has a church, but I think he's taking the gospel, into difficult places. Rob Pugh's hated. Everywhere Rob Pugh goes, he's hated. But where's he gone? He's gone into the highways and the byways and speaking the truth and compelling men to come to Christ. That's what he is doing, going into difficult places. That's what we are supposed to do. That's what see, at some point then, I don't know if Chad knows this. I don't even know if Chad's in here today. Are you in there, Chad? Well, good. He's not. Won't be embarrassed I'm talking about him. See, Chad's...
Yeah, I'm here.
Chad doesn't know this, but he's also walking in an apostolic anointing. He's got a group gathered with him, and they're in Texas, and he doesn't want to be the head honcho chief. He wants them to go where they live and for them to go into the difficult places and stand up for the truth. So Chad can operate as a pastor. He can operate as a prophet. He can walk in any of those gifts. He doesn't identify himself as a apostle, Chad Esten. I see guys all the time. But that's who they are. Here's prophetess Leona Jones, and here's prophet Malcolm Meyer, and what?
Dave?
That's the confusion. Yeah, Rod.
Yeah, that's kind of where I've always had trouble. I can't even say the damn word, pardon my language. The apostolic anointing.
Uh-huh.
And then where I've seen it is the abusing of that, and it's basically do what I tell you to do.
Yes.
Because I have an anointing. And
yes.
You know, there's a large church here in Columbus you're familiar with, and if I've heard it once from this individual, I've heard it twice. It's, you know, you just don't like where I'm taking you, but I've got the anointing and you don't, so be quiet.
Amen.
And I felt very uncomfortable with that, because with that anointing, I think, comes some form of accountability with other men as it relates to whatever they're wanting to do or take people. But I've just have always cringed when I hear these titles, because my experience, and it may not be a biblical experience, it may be incorrect, has always been, it's kind of like, hey, I'm in charge. God has spoken to me and you follow me. You know, it's always made me uncomfortable.
So Roger, I was a football coach, right? I was an apostle. I couldn't go play for him. My job was to put them in a position where their talents could be best utilized, where they would be able to thrive. And I would give them direction and try to bring all these gifts together and have it function as a body. I was able to do that in football. Why was that? Because the kids on the football team understand that they had a responsibility to perform what they'd been taught to do. They hadn't been taught just to sit there and listen and take notes and go home. We took them through it. We walked them through it. We put them in difficult situations and said, come on, you can do it. You can beat that guy. And if you can't beat that guy, then ask for help from your buddy and let's do a double team on him. But your job is to get that done, and you can do it. And if you can't do it, tell me, and I'll try to figure out how we can help you do what it is the Lord has called you to do. That's the way the church is supposed to function, and it doesn't. And it doesn't. And I say it over and over and over and over and over. I don't want to be your boss. I want to help you thrive right where you are in those difficult situations. And I'm available for advice. I'm available for help. I'm available to bring other people to help. But we are in the mess we're in because we are looking for leaders to do everything. So when Bradley said, I walk in the apostolic, I now get it. Not the office of the apostle, but the gifting. Now, here's the thing. That gift's available to you as well in different environments. Sometimes you're going to have to be the prophet, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes you're going to have to be the apostle and get things organized and direct. You, that's what your family is. sometimes you're going to have to be the evangelist. You're going to have to stand up above the crowd and speak. You're going to have to do that. And sometimes you're a pastor and a teacher. These are gifts, not offices. With me? I don't want to beat a dead horse. But I'm just telling you, we are working so hard to overcome this conditioning from the church establishment for us to walk in the fullness of our gifts. If we walked in the fullness of our gifts, I'm going to tell you something. The devil wouldn't be running rampant like he is. It just wouldn't be. But we don't understand what our obligation is. Robert Klaus, I sense you have something to say. Come on in here a minute. I don't know what it is. I just got a prompting from the Holy Spirit. You had something to say.
Well, I think this leadership, some of it, it's a pride issue. Everyone wants to be a leader. Plus, you hear it in the seminaries, you know, how to build a church, how to preach, like homiletics, how to preach, 3-4-point sermon outlines. You don't see homiletics in Scripture. Nowhere did Paul have 1 or 2 points with 5 subpoints and illustrations. And it's all man-made. The church is supposed to be Jesus-built, not man-made built. And we just need to get back to the Word of God and be what we are, be the church, not go to the church. So it's a pride issue. It's men following men, blind leading the blind, instead of being taught and led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen, Robert. And listen, I'm going to say this one, too. We crave, I'm talking to all of us. We crave stars. We crave stars. And so we see people elevated in the church, in the church environment, who become famous people simply because they can sing or they're pretty, or we see them and we love and chase after the gift. And one of the things that we've done and do in American Christianity is we raise up stars who are not able to fulfill the responsibility that the Lord's given them. We raise them up too soon. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Makes sense?
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
There's also the, not only do people not get promoted or encouraged to walk out in their gifts, but then, you know, and we've talked about this before, you know, there's also the always gatekeeper of the church, the quote-unquote pastor who won't equip his saints to walk out in those gifts.
Amen. Amen. Because the pastor has a gift. Hebrews 11. Go to Hebrews 11 real quickly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Coach, why are you doing that? I've been a lot of places in this country, and I cover a lot of area here in Southwest Missouri. And I don't know, and I know thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. I don't know, I can't count on my hand people that will do what I've done because I've listened to you. When me and Rick were walking up with that big banner last Sunday to go down to stand up by the street there, somebody had said, Christians in name only. And as we're walking up there, me and him were having a conversation, and I kind of just put it in a synonym, Cinos. They're C-I-N-O, Christians in name only. They're spineless, they're timid, they're weak, and they're that way because we've had 5 decades of pastors, teachers teaching us to be spineless and timid and weak.
Dependent, Kevin, being taught to be dependent. So specifically, dependent on the church and dependent upon the pastor and the church leadership. I'm well said, man, well said. And what I try to do, what I believe a good coach, apostle, call it whatever you want to, is try to teach you to go play on your own and then go play. And that's not the mood of the church. Oh, if I could just get my pastor. You have to talk to my pastor. It's like we're still and they like it that way. They like it that way. So, as I was getting ready to come down the stairs, Mark Trump is here and still here, helping with Sky High. And as I was going down the steps, Mark made a really profound point. He said, Coach, think about the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. We know a lot about them, but we know hardly anything of those who helped them. I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing. Matthew, Mark, take those 12 apostles. They certainly had guys around them that helped them. How come we don't know who they were? How come Matthew never speaks about the guys who enabled him to expand the gospel? You don't see it in that. It's not in there. And I wonder if those guys that helped him are mad they didn't make it into the book. They didn't get acknowledged in the book. So Hebrews 11, just so we all know this, there's anonymity. See, the gospel has anonymity. Hebrews 11 over there. I'm sorry. That's the Faith Hall of Fame, right? I'm not going to take you down through it, but I want you to realize this, that the Bible is full of people who were anonymous, who did things and never got any recognition for it. And that's what the Faith Hall of Fame talks about. It talks about Abel and Enoch, and it names some of the guys, but scroll on down, Connor, go down to about 32. About 32 of Hebrews 11. I'm just guessing. He mentions some of them, but then all of a sudden he says, and what shall I say? More say. Well, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets. I don't. These are nameless people who did what? Through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lion, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. We don't even know who they are. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They might obtain a better resurrection. Others had true trial. Just others, see, just nameless people who certainly were behind the scenes helping and equipping the saints. That's why they got in trouble. They were sown asunder. They were tempted. They were slain. They were with a sword. 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all of these, the Bible says, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. We don't even know who they are. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they, those ones who came before us, without us, may not be made perfect. In other words, the job can't be done. They can't be rewarded till we do our job. That without us, they cannot be made perfect. The job cannot be finished unless we have some other nameless people who are going to wander in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves and go into the difficult places. Unless we find people today who are willing to do this, the work of these people is going to be in vain. But see, it's not going to be, is it? It's not going to be. Because God's calling men and women to man the battle stations. Get out of your comfort zone and go do those difficult things. To do the comfortable thing. Go ahead.
So I need to go to Africa, right? Or stay home.
Yeah, we're gonna run to Africa, Guatemala, or now we got to run down to Haiti, or no, I'm sorry, into the Bahamas. And I'm not making light of that. I'm not making light of it.
There are a few people that Paul mentions as some of the people that he acknowledges helped him along the way. I think you find
I agree. Paul does. Yes, he does. He does. He does. Right. Hey, Glenn, I wonder how many people helped Paul that are never mentioned.
Right. I would think quite a few.
Because ultimately, see, I'm sorry. Ultimately, boys and girls, you don't need my approval. If you are working for my approval, you got it upside down. Hey, I got some good news for you here. Pull up Benny Hinn there. It says Benny Hinn, Connor. And if you saw this or not, it's a little 5-minute clip. Benny Hinn has rejected the prosperity gospel. He said, what? Yep. A miracle.
Yeah. after he's taken everybody to the cleaners.
Well, I thought that too, Roger. I thought that true. Yeah, and Rob Pugh says, I still don't trust him. I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you. All that. I still don't trust him. He's got all the money he could ever need. But for him to publicly come out and say, hey, we've been wrong about this thing, as he's got his $5,000 suit on.
Right? Hey, Coach.
Yes.
He's about to retire.
About to retire. Maybe. Maybe. Hey, let's
well,
let's
coach,
cut
if
him,
he
let's,
read his Bible and yeah, ahead, let's see if he the fruit of is remember Zacchaeus. What did Zacchaeus do? Zacchaeus went and paid everybody back and whom he had taken from as the tax collector. Bring forth many hen the true fruit of repentance and give that money back. And then we can look at this and say, you know what? He truly experienced the forgiveness of Christ.
Good point, man. You know him by the fruit, don't you? But I still want you to understand, at least he has spoken the truth about what it is he's been teaching. Go ahead and play this real quick. It's about 4 minutes. Maybe you can time it out.
Go to the speed, make it. Our brokenness, our old man, we call that the flesh, must be broken, must be out of the way. And today, sadly, among a lot of circles, all you hear is how to build the flesh. It's a feel-good message. That's what you hear out there. It's all about feel good, do good, all that. Make money, all the rest of it. And I'm sorry to say that prosperity has gone a little crazy. And I'm correcting my own theology. And you need to all know it. Because when I read the Bible now, I don't see the Bible in the same eyes I saw the Bible 20 years ago.
Freeze that. Freeze that.
And Steve Strang.
Freeze that right there, Connor. Boy, amen. I don't see the Bible the way I saw it 20 years ago. I don't see it the same way. We're different places in our lives and different influences in our lives and different things that make us think and do what we do. And if you see the Bible the same way that you saw it 3 years ago after being a part of what we're doing here, oh boy. See, there's nothing wrong with changing your point of view. All right, go ahead.
Charisma, whom we go back years, he was in my wedding. People don't even know that Charisma magazine began with my father-in-law. Charisma magazine started with Roy Harlan, and I married his daughter. So Steve Strang was in my wedding. We go way back. And he's already asked me, said, are you ready to make it public? I said, well, not totally, because I don't want to hurt my friends whom I love, who believe things I don't believe anymore. And I will tell you now something that is going to shock you. I think it's an offense to the Lord. It's an offense to say, give $1,000. I think it's offense to the Holy Spirit to place a price on the gospel. I'm done with it. I will never again ask you to give $1,000 or whatever amounts because I think the Holy Ghost is just fed up with it. Did you hear me? I think that hurts the gospel. So I'm making this statement for the first time in my life, and frankly, I don't care what people think about me anymore. So I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you who. It was Dan Willis. I love Dan with all my heart. I said, don't you dare preach that message again. Just a few days ago. I said, no, I said, I'm not going to hear it. I don't want to be a part of it. So when they invite me to telethons, I think they will not like me anymore. Because if you look at the Word of God, I don't want to get into it now. Am I shocking you? Good. Let's have a high five on this one. If I hear one more time, break the back of debt with $1,000, I'm going to rebuke them. I think that's buying the gospel. That's buying the blessing. That's grieving the Holy Spirit. That's about all I will say. If you are not giving because you love Jesus, don't bother giving. I think giving has become such a gimmick, it's making me sick to my stomach. And I've been sick for a while too. I just couldn't say it. And now the lid is off. I've had it.
Now, oh Lord, help us, Lord. Help me here, Lord. What else has Benny Hinn been teaching us that he no longer believes? And if he really doesn't believe in the prosperity gospel anymore, as Dale said, is there restitution? Is there repentance? Because can I tell you the truth? The idea of Benny Hinn's, I'm not beating on Benny Hinn, Benny Hinn's healing ministry, can I tell you the truth, is also nothing more than fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. That's all it is. God heals. God heals. But people flock to Benny Hinn to be healed because it's a self-centered approach to the gospel. I pray that the Lord would heal everybody. I would want to be healed. I'm not criticizing that. But when you have to run to a specific person to get healed, you are chasing the gifts, not the Lord. And that's, in my opinion, idolatry. Somebody come on in. Got 10 minutes left here. I'm all over the place here on Friday morning.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, you remind me of when Jesus Christ, after he fed many people, thousands of people, he went across to the other side. He's sick. He just went over there. And all of a sudden, the people were looking for him, and they went to him. And he told them, you only came here for the food. Mm-hmm. And he rejected many disciples from of his apostles and all this stuff, because you didn't come for me. You come for what you felt with you through your body, your flesh. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it makes sense. And that's become the message of, sadly, become the message of the modern day church. If we could real quickly, Connor, so I can wrap this up together. I'm trying to get it to load here. Mine just isn't loading. Click on the link that says fivefold gifts. Fivefold gifts. Mine's not loading. Hopefully yours does. Somebody come on in while I'm waiting for this thing to pop in here.
Well, Coach, I'll go back to the scripture. Even with Paul, you know, there was those people were skittish because of this one that was Saul of Tarsus. So going back to Benny Hinn, once again, that's great what he said. You know, it's time for him to step up and show this transition in his faith to really have a remorseful spirit of what he has done, and then go forward and preach that gospel and the trueness and the purity of it, and giving back to those who have taken from that he has taken from.
Well, Dale, not only that, he needs to go individually to these men that he believes are teaching a faulty message, and then call them out if they don't change.
Absolutely. Yep.
That needs to happen.
Dave, I think this is also an illustration of how wrong teaching, how it damages people. Because just listen to us, or listen to Roger Weaver. Benny Hinn could go out and do some incredible things, and I still would question him. And that's wrong on my part, too. But the bad teaching is so ingrained in Roger Weaver that anything good from Benny Hinn, I'm going to be questioning.
Amen. Amen. He did it to himself, didn't he?
Yeah. And I'm not saying that's good. I'm just saying that's what bad teaching does. It hurts people.
And that's right. Evil men have crept in unawares. Hey, scroll down here real quickly. Is the fivefold ministry relevant for today? Scroll down a bit on that one. Let me feel like you have to look. The fivefold ministry is for today. The text clearly says the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers' purpose to build up the body of Christ until the body of Christ reaches the unity of faith, knowledge, and it's fully mature, matching the fullness of Christ. Okay? So what is the fivefold ministry supposed to do? This, not offices, gifts. What are these gifts supposed to do? Equip the believers for the work of service. I hope we're doing that here. Build up the body of believers in growth and maturity. I hope we're doing that here. Create unity of faith. Increase in knowledge about God, Jesus, and the kingdom. I hope we're doing that. Grow believers to be mature in their faith with sound doctrine. That's what the fivefold ministry is supposed to do. Develop strong believers who are secure in their faith. To mature the saints to be able to stand in the face of challenges and the deceits of the world. Is that happening in your churches? Disciple believers in continual growth and an ever-increasing outward manifestation of love of their gifts. In summary, the fivefold ministry is a framework to grow, build, and mature the Christians, the body of Christ, the individuals, through the lives of the saints. The church is missing that so much. Real quickly, what are the roles? Apostle, people who score highest with an apostolic position are dream awakeners in the kingdom of God. They awaken people to their God-designed potential. They are instrumental in people discovering who they are and walking alongside them to get them there. They forge new paths in the kingdom and are a catalyst for change wherever they go. Listen to a message, yada, yada, yada. What's the prophet do? For the prophet, people who score high with a prophetic position are heart revealers in the kingdom of God. They are effective in revealing God's heart for his people wherever they go. They can accurately discern God's heart for a situation. They help people experience God's voice for the very first time and help them also develop hearing the voice of God in their own lives. What a prophet does. He speaks for God into lives. An evangelist, people score high on this one. They make the stories of Jesus' remarkable goodness and love famous. They are carrier of good news and partnering with Jesus in celebrating the transformation of people. What does a pastor do? People who score high on this, they are instrumental in guiding people through brokenness back to wholeness and healing their soul from the wounds that keep them where they are. They create a safe environment of family and belonging. They bring fun and enjoyment to God's ministry and allow people to feel like they're part of a greater family, and then equip them and move them on. The teacher or people who score high on this one, they make the truth and knowledge of God accessible to all. They have the ability for breaking confusion and misinformation. They're strategic in helping people know the truth of God and also how it applies to their own life. So guys, that's us. We all walk in all of these giftings, not offices. Man, oh man. See, God will never put you in a situation where someone with these giftings doesn't show up. And if you're under the unction of the Holy Spirit, you may have to assume one of these giftings that you are not comfortable with. But the Lord will equip you to be able to do that. Boy, if we could just figure this one out, what a difference. Do people have more than one gifting? Absolutely. Huh? Can you run a chainsaw and drive a skid steer and drywall? How many talents does Dale Socha have? You guys don't know Dale like I know him. He can preach, he can sing, he can build, he can guy can do everything. He's got a lot of gifts. But you know what? When he goes in the pulpit, he ain't laying drywall. So your gift is applicable to where you are, to what environment you're currently working in. And you have to be flexible enough to realize the unction of the Holy Spirit to propel you to do something that may be uncomfortable. Remember, we take it into uncomfortable places. Got a couple minutes. Somebody help me close down here.
Yeah, Coach.
I believe Baptist every person can walk in any one of those offices.
Giftings, Dale. Giftings. Offices.
Isn't that true? If we say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, we must believe it's not us. It is Christ. That I believe when you step out in faith in an area where you don't think you can, that you trust in God, that I believe that he gifts you right at that moment to do with the task that is at hand.
Amen. Dale, there's no doubt that in my life, I operate in every one of those giftings.
Absolutely.
Everyone, right? Hey, by the way, we all not only should, we all have to, depending on the environment you're in. In your family, just look at your family and ask, are those gifts operating in your family? And if not, why are they not? And what do you as the head of the family need to do to step in to make those giftings more relevant? But if we're not talking about it, I'm not supposed to take my kids to church to have the pastor train them. Come on in, Randy. Randy, wasn't it?
Coach, it's an authority. God, I look at you as a father. Doesn't God give you the authority to be a father? Because that's his system. It's the same thing. Everyone doesn't have the calling of an apostle or a prophet, but what they have an authority and anointing to go into that and to be that. And it's not about knowledge and skill and college degrees. It's about what God has put in you to be.
It's gifts, man. It's gifts. You know, it's talent. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, in the scriptures, there's two places I found that they actually called people, Jesus labeled people apostles. Well, one place he did that, that's Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is. And then in Acts chapter 1, it talks about in the label of apostle on the folks. And something that surprised me is Judas was still with the other 11 long after the crucifixion.
Hmm.
And he wasn't replaced until later in Acts chapter 1. Now, but I do not remember reading in the scripture where Jesus ever said, okay, I'm going to name these people to be prophets. However, Ephesians is very clear that there are prophets and it is part of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, mm-hmm. Not part of the organized.
Not a title, Larry.
It's not a title in a constitution of the church or the bylaws of the church. It is an office of, like you say, an office of gifting. It's a position that is needed in the body for the body to be assembled and function properly.
We're out of time. We're all in this together, man. Let's help each other find Amen. Our gifts, operate in our gifts, and do great things for the kingdom of God. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.